Good morning, brothers and sister. Turn your Bible to 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 13 to 17. Today we are going to study part 2 of this section, verse 16 and 17. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 13 to 17. I have said that the theme of this passage, clinging to the word of truth. We need to cling to the word of truth. We should not leave the word of truth. Before I enter preaching this passage, just I want to remind two professions. That first provision is doctors. They never leave what they have learned. They always read books what they have learned so that they may not kill people. If you think if doctor is not remembered what he has learned, definitely he is going to kill that patient. When he is doing the operation. That's why doctors usually they read books when they go home.
If they don't know, they will ask other senior doctors
so that they may be expert in that. Doctors won't leave what they have learned. Even lawyers, even judges.
They cannot leave.
They don't want to leave what they have learned. If judge does not know what he has learned. If he forgets all things, if lawyer is defending for his person, he cannot know what kind of judgment he can give.
Even judges always enforce what he has learned.
Did you observe? In office of lawyer, you can see many books. Backside of a chair.
Because they always read so that they can pass good judgment.
They can argue with the law.
What about a man of God? What about a pastor? The most important work in the world. Pastor is most important work. Through this work, you can save a sinner. God can use a pastor to save a sinner.
So you are working as a pastor, you should not leave the word of God, which is instrument. You cannot serve the church. You cannot serve God without the word of God. That's why some pastors always buy books and keep in their library reading. They want to cling to the word of God
so that they can be useful for the church.
That's what Paul is saying here. Chapter 3, verse 13 to 17. Clinging to the word of truth. Because he says, verse 13, but evil men, imposters, will proceed from bad to worse. Just we can read that verse 13 to 17. What Paul is saying.
Second Timothy chapter 3, verse 13 to 17.
But evil men and imposters will proceed from bad to worse,
deceiving and being deceived. Continue in the things you have learned.
And become convinced that from childhood you have known the sacred things which are able to give you the wisdom that leads to salvation through faith, which is in Christ.
All scripture is inspired by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for training in righteousness.
So that the result of that, the man of God may be adequate for every good work.
We know the main command in this passage
is continue
continue
in the things we have learned
and become convinced of.
And become convinced
of.
That's why I said clinging to the word.
Timothy has
learned the word.
The
word is truth.
Because
it says, right, become convinced of. He thought that whatever he learned,
that
was
true.
That was true.
I
know that Paul is
commanding.
He is not just
urging.
He is commanding. You should continue.
If doctor, he is not giving what he has learned. A lawyer, a judge, he is not giving what he has learned. Whatever pastor you, man of God, you should not give
what
you
have learned.
That's
what Paul is saying. I
told
two reasons why a man of God must continue in the faith. First reason,
evil
men increase in wickedness.
Because
it says
so was
that
an evil
man
first
was to proceed from worse to
worse,
bad to worse, deceiving and being deceived.
However,
whatever they are doing,
however
they are,
but you should continue.
I told that it is
an
indirect
reason
why
a man
of God must
continue
in the faith.
We know
that false teachers
are less
in
their
initial
days,
but later they will become
worse
and worse.
They will do
more evil.
They
will
progress.
I told two evidences of their increase in
wickedness.
First evidence, they deceive
others.
Second evidence,
they
deceive
themselves.
Then
we
move on. Second
reason
why a man of God must continue in the truth.
Scripture
is precious.
Scripture
is precious.
That is
the motivation.
You, Timothy, why you should continue in the faith?
Paul is giving
you,
Timothy,
why
you should
continue
in the faith?
What
you have, what
you
have learned. Why you should continue in the word of God? Because it is
precious.
So precious. Then he
gave
four aspects of
scripture
that proves its preciousness. The first aspect of
scripture
is the reliability of scripture.
Two
reasons I have given you. The first reason, it was taught by reliable teachers. Who are they?
Paul,
an apostle,
mother,
and grandmother.
Those
are reliable teachers.
Second
reason
why
it is reliable,
it was
taught as
crucial.
Because look at verse 58,
says
from childhood you have known the
sacred
writings, holy writings.
The
second aspect
of scripture
that proves its
preciousness
is the
power
of scripture.
Reliability
and power,
we
have seen
that.
Because
verse
15, it says,
which
are able
to
give
you
the wisdom
that
leads to
salvation
through faith,
which
is in
Christ
Jesus,
able,
that
is
powerful,
to save
a sinner
as
instrument of
God.
Then
we have
remember that God is
using
Old
Testament
scripture, which
is
concerning about
Jesus
and saving
sinners.
No need,
even
New Testament.
If you
read
Old
Testament,
you
can
know
about Jesus.
You can know
about
sacrificial
system,
all
referring
about
Jesus'
sacrifice.
Just
we have
seen
last
time.
Now
we move
to
third
aspect
of
scripture
that
proves
its
preciousness
is
the
inspiration
of
scripture.
The
inspiration
of scripture.
Look
at
verse 16,
it
says,
all
scripture
is
inspired
by
God.
I don't
want
to finish
this portion
hurry
in
last
time.
I
want to
spend
much
time
about this
because
the
inspiration
of God, the
inspiration
of scripture
is
most
crucial.
Most
of the
false
teachers
are
attacking
the
inspiration.
We must
know
the full picture
of
inspiration
of the
scripture.
Here
I want to
give
three things. One
thing
is, I
want
to
give
the meaning of
all
scripture.
What
Paul is saying
here.
The second one,
the
definition
of
inspiration.
Third
one,
the
false
series
of inspiration.
Three
things
I am
going
to
cover
from
this.
The
inspiration
of
if you understand
these three
things, then
you will be sure.
You will be.
You will have confidence about the word of God.
You will have
the
confidence
one,
about
the
word
of
God. The first one, the meaning of all scriptures is inspired by God. What God is talking
all,
about. If you see the Greek word all, I don't know how to use.
Right?
You know
the
what does
word,
mean? Right? That Greek word
meaning,
it refers to
all
it has two meanings. One is all.
You can translate that every scripture.
You can translate that every scripture that is inspired. There is a difference between every scripture and all scripture.
There is
little difference, not much difference. Every scripture is emphasizing
the
individual portions.
And
all scripture is emphasizing
the compound
book, the full Bible.
All
is full Bible, every
is
individual portion.
The
Bible teachers use two technical terms to explain
all.
All scripture is inspired by God. What is all? They say
verbal
inspiration.
Verbal
inspiration refers to every word themselves being inspired by God. Every word, single word, inspired by God.
The second
technical term they use,
plenary inspiration.
It refers to inspiration extends to every part of the conclusion will be
each and every word of scripture is inspired by God. Each and every word of God.
Each and every word. It includes Old Testament.
It
includes New Testament. Genesis to Revelation.
Pentateuch.
And all prophetic
books, all wisdom books,
and also all historical books,
four
gospels and Acts, Paul's epistles, John's epistles,
and also Peter's epistles, reminding of other epistles.
And
everything, each and every word, every book was inspired by God.
So Peter's epistles, reminding of by God, is inspired by God.
I want to give you proof of inspiration. How do we know?
Old Testament is inspired by God. I want to give you some example from the scripture. Three proofs I am going to give.
For the Old Testament inspired by God. First proof, we can see many times in the scripture that thus says the Lord.
For the Old Testament inspired by God. First proof, says the Lord.
Did
you read
anything
in the scripture?
In
Old Testament?
It is used 349 times in the Old Testament. That itself is saying that the Old Testament is inspired by the prophet.
For example, Jeremiah chapter 1 verse 9 says, then the Lord stretched out his hand, touched my
mouth, and the Lord said to me, behold, I have put my words in your mouth.
God said to me, behold, God said to him, I have put my words
in
your mouth.
Matthew chapter 1 verse 22
says,
now all this took place.
What was spoken by the Lord through the prophet? By the Lord through the prophet.
Hebrew
chapter 1 was when God,
after
he spoke long ago to
fathers in the prophets. See, we can
in
give you many verses.
In the prophets, we can view many by God, inspired by God. By looking at the phrases, proof prophet, in prophet, the third proof we can say why Old Testament is inspired by God, that is, we see the biblical titles. If you are reading the Word of God, especially Old Testament, you can see Psalm 19, verse 1 to 10, sorry, 7 to 10, you can see these phrases, the law of God.
Law
of Yahweh, the testimony of Yahweh, precepts of
Yahweh,
commandments of Yahweh,
fear
of
Yahweh,
judgments
of
Yahweh.
It is
the law of Yahweh.
The law
belongs to Yahweh. You can see many biblical
titles.
It will show that
the
Old Testament is inspired by God. Jeremiah 36 verse 27 says the word of the Lord.
Oracles of the Lord. Oracles of the Lord.
Romans
3. Even more, recognize. Lord, this is
Jehovah's word.
Psalm 119:42
says, Your law, your commandments, your word. You can read many times in the Old Testament these praises. It is showing that the Old Testament is inspired by God. The best example I want to give you, Mark chapter 7, 9 to 13. Please open and look at Mark chapter 7, 9 to 13. It is very important to know all scripture is inspired by God. Even Old Testament.
Mark 7, 19 to 13.
Verse 9 it says,
He was also saying to them, you are experts. Setting aside the commandment of God.
In order to keep your tradition. Did you see the commandment of God?
Then verse 10 he says, Moses said,
Honor your father and your mother.
Look at verse 13.
It says, Invalidating the word of God. Did you see three different words?
The commandment of God.
What Moses said.
Then finally he said,
invalidating the word of God. So what we can understand, the commandment is equal to what Moses said.
What Moses said is the word of God.
Very clear, right?
How can we say the Old Testament is not inspired by God?
It is inspired by God. Very clearly, we can see many verses. But I gave three proofs. What are those?
Thus says the Lord. And we can see the praises through the prophets God was speaking.
Third one, the titles, biblical titles, we can see that. Now we move on. Proofs of inspiration of
New Testament.
Galatians chapter 1, verse 12. It says, For I neither received it, that is gospel, from man, nor was I taught it, but I received it through the revelation of Jesus Christ.
Paul himself is saying,
see, whatever I'm preaching, it is not coming for me, revelation of God. I received everything through the revelation of Jesus Christ. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 4 to 5. You need to look at scripture so that we can understand the doctrine of inspiration. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 4 to 5. It says, when you read, you can understand my insight into the mystery of Christ.
Verse 5, part 3, it says,
It has now been revealed to his holy prophets and holy apostles and prophets in the Spirit. Here, Paul is saying the word of God revealed to the holy apostles.
What Paul is declaring here,
whatever apostle Peter, John are writing, those are not inspired by themselves, it came from God. He is proving that whatever they wrote is from the Lord. Second Peter chapter 3, verse 15 to 16, it says like this, especially verse 15 in part B. Just as our beloved brother Paul,
according to the wisdom given to him,
wrote to you,
verse 16,
as also in all his letters, Speaking in them of these things, which are some things hard to understand, which untaught and unstable distort, as they do also the rest of the scripture. What Peter is saying, he is approving that whatever Paul wrote, that is from the Lord. The wisdom was given to Paul.
So Paul is approving other apostles.
Here Peter is approving even Paul's letters.
So from Romans to Titus, full letters inspired by God.
all things, like whatever John wrote, whatever Peter wrote, whatever Apostle wrote, Paul wrote, those are inspired by God. Proof from even New Testament. Why I'm telling these all things? You need to understand the full picture. Genesis to Revelation are inspired by God. Each and every word inspired by God. Now we move on our second point. Definition of inspiration. Definition of inspiration. First, we have seen all scripture. That is, we have seen the New Testament. We have seen the proof. Second one, definition of inspiration. It's literally translation. The literal translation of this word is God breathed.
God breathed.
Paul used this word to show the Old Testament.
The Old Testament concept.
If you look at Genesis chapter 2, verse 7, the same word used there also. Genesis chapter 2, verse 7. Then the Lord formed a man of dust from the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living being.
Breathe.
The same word Paul is using. He is referring. The man was
lifeless, but God gave life.
But God gave life, and he became living being. God is the source of man. At the same time, God is the source of scripture. That is the definition.
The source of its living is God.
The word of God exists because God created them. God created them. Having its source and origin in God. John Stott, he defined like this about inspiration of scripture. He says like this: inspiration is doubtless a convenient term to use.
But he says,
expiration conveys a better meaning.
He said
like this: scripture is not to be thought of
as already in existence.
When God breathed into. What is saying? Scripture is not existed before. It looks like scripture existed. God breathed it.
Life has come.
That is called inspiration. But he is saying what? But has itself brought into existence by the breath and spirit of God. There is no word before, but God himself created. That's what inspiration means. That's what expiration means. It looks like God is there.
God
breathed it. Life has come. Not like that. God himself created. It came from him. Then we need to understand. When you're reading scripture epistles, then it says that I am Paul, an apostle writing to you.
Then John is writing.
Then some people argue that. I was saying the scripture is inspired by God, but scripture is saying itself. Paul is writing. John is writing. How can you define that?
So he is talking about dual authorship.
You need to think about dual authorship. God used man as a tool to write the word. As someone said, God used a man like a pen to compose his words on the page. God used apostles, prophets as a pen to compose words on the pages. Not only that, God produced scripture by influencing the human author's own thoughts. It has dual authorship. Ultimate author is God. Immediate author is man. We should not forget that man also involved in the inspiration of the scripture, but God used him as tool.
God was speaking to the prophets and apostles as we read above verses.
We read, right? Matthew chapter 1, verse 22, it says, what was spoken by the Lord to the prophet, by the Lord,
by means source, through the prophet means
instrument. God is using prophets, apostles as an instrument to produce the word of God. So you cannot deny human authorship. You cannot deny the ultimate authorship of God.
One man
of God said like this, the definition, God,
about
dual authorship, God superintended, controlled the human authors of Bible,
so that
they composed and recorded without error his message to mankind in the words of their original writing. What he is saying is, we cannot say NASB is inspired by God. We cannot say ESV, other translated things are inspired by God. What we need to understand, the original manuscript are inspired by God. From that, people translate it so that we can understand. I am not disrespecting, there is no error in this translations also. Most of the translations, for example, NASB, ESV, or other translations, good translations, have minor 0.0001%. That one also, if Jesus is there in manuscript, they translate it as he. Nothing will change. Meaning won't change. Those small things are there in the translation, but there is no error in original manuscript. God controlled the human authors
to compose,
to record without error his message. That's what he was saying.
So that is
the definition of inspiration.
Now we move on to the third one, the false theories of inspiration.
It is very important, especially you, going to be pastor, going to preach word of God. You should understand
the false
theories of inspiration.
All scripture means
antiquity, each and everything. Second one, we talked about the definition of inspiration. The third one, false theories of inspiration. The first false theory of inspiration is moral inspiration theory.
Moral
inspiration
theory.
It says like this.
Only,
listen carefully, only moral and spiritual material things in scripture is inspired.
And
inspiration
does
not
extend
to historical, scientific matters.
Do
you understand? Only moral, spiritual things are
inspired.
Other historical things are not inspired.
He's saying that
creation was created within
six days.
Bible says that is history.
But they say
that is not inspired.
Man came from.
How can you say that?
He said that man came from God, but they say it's not inspired by God.
Genesis is not inspired by God.
Only
moral things.
Spiritual
things inspired by God.
Some people
say that.
That's why
they deny first
6 days
of creation.
The second
false theory of inspiration is
natural
inspiration theory.
It says
natural endowment, gifted individuals with exceptional insight. They have exceptional insight for those people he had chosen to write the scripture. It is saying that exalting human authors, they have natural ability to see the things God had chosen them, then they wrote. Some people are saying that.
Natural
inspiration.
Third
one, dynamic inspiration theory.
Dynamic
inspiration theory. It says only the thoughts of biblical
authors
were inspired.
God
only giving thoughts.
It's like titles, based on that idea, people wrote.
Even that is not true.
Then it won't apply each and every word in the scripture.
Only ideas is inspired.
The fourth one, degree of inspiration.
It says that certain parts of scripture partake of greater degree of inspiration than others.
For example,
First Timothy has greater inspiration.
Second Timothy has lesser inspiration.
God is
some portion of very carefully,
some portion of the scripture very
less
carefully, but other things like
you
less
know
inspiration.
Where they got
You don't know
all
where
this.
They got these
just
all things.
Creating,
just creating.
It's like, no,
it's like, no, whatever they
look
like,
like,
they
say
that
this portion is not inspired as
better than other
portions.
In
we are
learning
that
from
the book
of Esther,
even
though
that
is history,
history,
we can learn many
from
things
that.
from that.
We
we
can
can
know
know
who
who
God
God
is.
Is.
Every
scripture,
scripture,
every
history in
history
the
Bible is inspired by God,
as same
same
as
other
scriptures.
Then fourth one, mechanical
inspiration
theory.
So
it attacks the dual authorship. It attacks
dual authorship. You can say dictation inspiration theory.
Dual
mechanical
authorship. You can say dictation inspiration theory. Mechanical or
dictation.
It says the human authors of scripture were completely passive in the writing process. Their personalities have been set aside to preserve infallibility as they mechanically wrote what God dictated to them. What they are saying, whatever God said, they wrote. God did not use their personality. If you read Paul's writing, even Peter himself said, it is hard to understand.
Why
it is hard to understand?
Because
Paul
was
studied under
Gamaliel.
He was a
scholar.
He was a scribe.
He was
a
Pharisee.
He knows many things.
So
God
so
used all his education
to
write
God
scripture.
God
uses, for example, I am teaching. I can use, God can use whatever
reason.
I know.
God
cannot
use
whatever I don't have. So God involved even man.
That's
why you can see different
types
of literature.
Some
false writing is very hard to understand. That
is
inspired by God.
John
writing is simple, easy to understand. Even that one also inspired by God. God used each author, he used their personalities also. Their personalities also. But each and every word inspired by God, under his care, everything were written.
So
that is, we need to think about these things.
If
we believe these all false teachings,
we will deny
most of the
Bible.
It will deny
historicity
of
man.
Some
yes.
people say
there is no evidence for
There is no evidence for historicity of
man. Read the Bible, you can understand.
If you read the Bible, you can understand.
God created man.
God created man. But these people will say
moral inspiration,
like moral inspiration, natural
inspiration.
Dynamic
inspiration,
degree of
inspiration,
mechanical dictation inspiration. Sometimes
God
dictated, like Ten Commandments, God himself wrote and gave. It does not mean everything he dictated.
Authors are just
passive. They don't know anything. They don't know any idea. They don't use their brain. Just sitting there is going like that only. Some people say that.
That is false.
So what is the inspiration? God used human
authors.
He controlled human authors
to
write, to compose his message.
The
human authors are tools.
God
is the source. God is the source.
That's
why it has
authority.
The Bible says something else, everybody should obey. Listen, because it has
authority,
it is inspired by God. If you won't be inspiration of God, you won't respect the word of God. You won't obey the word of God. You won't find the word of God is sufficient.
You will run after other things.
You will run after other things. You will use your psychology, your things.
The
word of God
is
inspired.
Brothers,
the doctrine
of
inspiration of
scripture
is very important.
That's
why
I
don't want to preach Haribari last time. Very important. It will
affect
the remaining doctrine of the scripture.
This will
help us to
believe
the
days
of creation.
It will help
us to know the things clearly.
And also, I want to encourage you, brothers.
We need to focus on preaching on Old Testament as well as New Testament.
We preach only New Testament. Old Testament, meaning Old Testament,
because we know all scripture is inspired by God. Inspired by God. It will help us to understand the word of God.
We can see two implications.
If you understand, if you believe the inspiration of God, two implications. First one, you can trust the word of God. Second one, you can honor the word of God. Because it came from God.
Whenever you are reading,
you are reading so precious thing which came from God. God Himself is the author. Holy Spirit is the author of this scripture. Almighty God wrote this scripture. So we will honor them. Fourth aspect of scripture that proves its preciousness is the usefulness of scripture. The usefulness of scripture. Look at verse 16.
All scripture is inspired by God. And profitable for teaching.
Says all scripture is inspired by truth for correction, for training in righteousness.
Verse 17, so that a man of God may be adequate for every good work.
The meaning of the word profitable is it means it has idea of usefulness. It is beneficial.
It is advantageous. It is useful for something.
It is advantageous for something.
It is beneficial for something. You know that.
We can say that what is particularly helpful.
The word of God is helpful to something. Here we have five spiritual things. The first spiritual thing. The scripture is useful to teach the truth.
Look at verse 16. Profitable for teaching. The teaching, the doctrine.
Teaching the truth. Scripture is useful for imparting spiritual truth to the flock.
Explaining, teaching, instructing the truth from the scripture to the people.
Instructing divine truth from Old Testament and New Testament. That's why we need to understand the doctrine of God.
Instructing divine truth from Old Testament and New Testament. How do people know who is Christ from the scripture?
Timothy, listen. Want to know main things. Want to know about God? Everything. Scripture is useful to teach all truth. One time, preacher is preaching Christ's sacrificial work by quoting Vedas. Like he is saying that Sarvabhauma Parihara Padrakam Paramatmena Punidana Paliyara. Using those Vedas, words, I don't know those things, but proving Christ's work from the Vedas. Then what will happen? Others, they are quoting those verses, this preacher is misquoting. That Eras is saying something else, but he is misquoting. They are attacking the Bible. See, there is no truth in the Bible. They are coming and using our things, proving who is Christ. But it says, right, profitable for teaching. The second spiritual thing that scripture is useful for is to expose sin and error. Look at verse 16. For reproof. for rebuking those who have fallen into sin at doctrinal level. The literal meaning of this word reproof is to expose sins and error. That is the idea. You will expose what is sin. Reproof means not scolding people. It is saying that exposing their sin. People think that reproof means like going and scolding privately. No. We are helping them. Scripture will help them to see whether they are doing right or wrong. Not only sin and also doctrine will help to know what is error. Hebrews chapter 4 verse 12 says, the word of God is living and active and sharp on any two-edged sword, and piercing as far as division of soul and spirit, of both joints and marrow, able to judge the thoughts and intention of the heart. It is able to show our sins, people's sins, congregation sins, even our sins. Some people are fretting here, who is that sin is, that the action is sin or not? How do we know? The scripture will tell us. Even false teachers, they are saying that all the homosexuals,
men became men
by their
dressing
sins.
Even all other doctrines, we are able to convict and expose the sins of brothers.
The heresy, the false teachers, it will help us to see the weakness in their character.
The weakness in their doctrine is beneficial. Brothers, don't rebuke others based on your thoughts, your ideas.
You need to expose that person's sins based on the
scripture. The scripture is enough to think about, to evaluate whether it is sin or not.
Scripture is enough to see that person is teaching truth or
untruth. Third spiritual thing that scripture is useful for. The first one to teach the truth, that is doctrine.
Second one to expose sin and the errors.
Third one to restore
the fallen.
To restore the fallen. It says for correction.
Scripture is useful to correct others.
The meaning of this word correct is the restoration of something to its proper condition. Helping those who had stumbled. For example, two persons are going, one has fallen down, other person is helping him, taking his hand and holding his shoulder, lifting that person again. Helping that person to stand again in the right path. That is the idea Paul is using. The idea is to restore those who have fallen spiritually by helping them back on the right path. It is not only used to expose their sins, but also used to restore them to stand again in the right path.
If someone is believing false teaching, false theory, the scripture restores the person. If someone is doing sin, living in sin, the scripture restores the person to stand again. It will give some helpful tips to overcome that sin.
It will be useful to learn the right doctrine.
The word of God is crucial, brothers. Not only is it one sinner, it gives you motivation to overcome that sin.
That's why it is so precious. The scripture is so precious, we should continue in. So edifying, right? The word of God. Christ is so gracious.
He is not only showing you your sin, he is helping you how to overcome that sin.
That's why I used to say that even any man of God, faithful men, if somebody comes to them struggling with any sin, they will, even I will tell them to memorize all verses is concerning about that sin. It will help you. Whenever you do that sin, the scripture is warning you. It will help you. It will motivate you to come out of that sin.
If someone is struggling with false teaching, errors,
it will help you come out of that. Before I used to come to years, I thought that I can be a preacher who can go to all places of churches.
If anybody calls me,
I will go and I preach. I thought like that. I came here. Then after learning scripture, then I came to know the value of local church.
Shepherding
of
the
local church.
Then
the word of God removed my thought. Error.
God did not call us to be a so-called church.
Why here and there? But we need to focus on one local church. So local church. Nothing wrong to move in such other places, but not focusing on local church is sin, right?
That is sin.
I'm not speaking church planting thing. Many things. I gave example in my personal life. The word of God changed our thinking. The word of God restored us.
Now
my commitment is focus on one local church.
Shepherd that church.
Every day I get, how can I change? Because the word of God helped me.
It restores
fallen
those who are in sin,
those who are in wrong doctrine.
So useful, right?
The fourth spiritual thing that scripture is useful is to cultivate righteousness.
Look at verse 16 part B.
Training in righteousness.
The word of God will train the believers to live,
to think in godly manner.
It is not focusing only on sin which you struggle, it is helping you to become a godly man.
Especially it is very important for pastors, ministers,
for me.
I should be godly.
You should be godly. Because we are going to be used by God,
the vessel to serve His church.
If you want to be godly,
The word of God is the word of God.
Cultivate righteousness in man of God,
and also all believers.
It will train
believers in righteousness.
It helps all of us
to live godly life, to have moral and ethical life.
The most godly, ethical, moral people are Christians
who read the Bible,
who attend
church meetings and Bible study,
who know the word of God,
they live godly life.
Others they don't have the instrument
which cultivate righteousness, but Christians, we can have godly life
by the grace.
The fifth spiritual thing that scripture is useful.
It is useful to teach the truth.
It is useful to expose sin and error.
It is useful to restore the fallen, and also it is useful to cultivate righteousness, finally, to prepare the minister for good work.
It is useful to prepare the minister for good work. Look at verse 17, it says,
so that the man of God may be adequate,
equipped for every good work.
So we can say that finally it is sufficient,
it is useful,
it is beneficial
for minister to do good works.
Look at so that
it refers that the result of its inspiration,
result of its power,
the understood right,
is reliable,
it is powerful,
it is inspired by God,
it is useful,
so
it can be.
It can have results
so that a man of God may be useful.
A man of God may be do good works.
Look at the word man of God.
It refers to
Timothy as a spokesman for God. That is the idea. The man who officially spoke for God. The person who is dedicated to God to speak for him. That is the definition of man of God. That's why he says, preach. Preach the word. Then we can see adequate. Adequate and equipped. Both are almost similar. Both has almost similar meaning. The meaning of adequate is qualified. Exactly fitted. Having all that is necessary. We can say fit for task. Ready at every point. That is the idea. Adequate meaning. Look at verse 4 too. Ready for every point. Chapter 4 verse 6, right? Please the word be ready in season and out of season. Because you are ready, because you are adequate. You are qualified, you are ready to do things. That is good things. A man of God will be qualified, has all necessary for good works. That is doing good ministry. Good works means doing good ministry. What about the meaning of equipped? Equipped means this word used to refer a mission that was sold in good condition. That is the basic idea. It refers to being capable of performing service expected out of it. I changed my phone's display when I went to mobile shop. He said your display has gone. Then he replaced another display. I came to PTS to study. Within 1 hour, it has gone. Again, I went afternoon. He said, this display also gone. Then he replaced another display. Then I came to home after 3 hours. That one also gone. Then I went again. This is troubling. All that is new displays. Even though it is very expensive, but the company is not selling the original display. Why I'm saying that the display is not performing service what I expected from that. That's why now it is automatically doing things. It is not working properly. Because that is not giving a right performance. The policy is the same idea. It means performing service expected out of it. The man of God will perform service which is expected from him. He has to work properly. How he can be equipped? Through the word of God. Through the word of God. By knowing. By holding fast to the word of God. That's why he is exalting the word of God. The man of God is capable of performing service expected from him. What is doing good? As I said, it indicates the good works as a good and faithful ministry. Based on what? That is teaching, reproof, correction, and training. A man of God will be useful. He can serve. In the church, he can do good things in the church. He can bring good things for the church when he hold fast to the word of God. Otherwise, it is impossible, brothers. Impossible. If you won't cling to the word of God, if you don't know what is God is saying, all doctrines, then you are like my display. No useful. I want to throw that mobile phone out. Even God wants to throw you out if you don't know the word of God. You take serious? Very serious, brothers. Very serious. That's why you walk day and night. That's why you sleep at 2 o'clock, 3 o'clock by doing assignments. You are not doing to get marks. You are doing work hard so that you know the preciousness of the scripture. The valueless of scripture. You are sweating. You are losing your sleep. For the kingdom of God, for the heaven, for the eternal things. Be joyful, man. You must have joy. If you sleep late night, then just to praise God, I am working
to know the word of God. What was commanded?
Jesus himself, Holy Spirit himself is commanding.
Because it is instructed that continue in the word of God. What you have known.
Implication that whatever you are learning, brothers, you need to repeat it.
If you won't repeat it, you won't read again, you will forget all things.
Definitely I will say that.
If you learn one subject, don't think it is finished.
You need to remember again and again. It will be useful.
You are able to meet all the demands
placed on you
as a man of God
through the scripture, through the study of scripture, through the meditation.
Are you studying the scripture
which is precious? I hope this sermon will motivate you to love the Bible because of its preciousness.
He understood the sufficiency of scripture. He gave him the power of scripture. It is able to give wisdom to sinners, to save them. What kind of things, what kind of information he may have got is going to the church.
Only one thing that is the word of God.
That's why whatever your money, your hard work, not going to be wasted. It is going to be benefited for the church, for the glory of God. You know, Psalm 19 verse 10 says, they are more desirable than gold. Sweeter than honey, and drinking of honey.
I want to conclude this message by giving example of William Tyndale, who translated first English Bible directly from Hebrew and Greek. He also learned how you were learning Greek. In 1611, after 7 years of his work, 47 scholars produced the King James version of the Bible. Then he says, One estimator suggests that the New Testament in King James version is 83%. Just take 83% of the Old Testament quotes put into the King James version. 47 scholars worked in 7 years. Then Tyndale's quotes of New Testament 76%. What I am saying is that Tyndale honored the word of God.
He came to know the preciousness of the word of God. He came to know it is reliable, it is powerful, it is inspired by God, it is useful for the people. He came to know that he started translating the Bible. He wants to give the word to others.
During his imprisonment, shortly before his death, in 1536, William Tyndale wrote To the governor in chief, when I read, I was glad what request he made. He asked the governor, send some goods to me. I want something. Anyway, I am going to die. He asked something like warmer cap, candle, a piece of cloth. Armor cap, candle, and piece of cloth. But he said, above all, I beg you, I entreat, permit me to have my Hebrew Bible, Hebrew grammar, and Hebrew dictionary, that I may spend time with that in study. What kind of man of God he is?
He is going to die very shortly.
He is writing a letter. Please send me, allow me to read Hebrew Bible, Hebrew dictionary, Hebrew grammar, so that I can study the word of God. He must be like these people. If you honor the word of God, if you know the preciousness of the word of God, you will be like William Tyndale, you will be like William Carey. God may help us to value the word of God. For which we work hard day and night. Let's pray. Thank you, Lord, for your word. Thank you, Lord,
for blessing us with your word.
Lord, help us to honor your word. And give us strength and spirit to study your word, to value your word. Lord, help us to make our body, Lord, to understand scripture so that we can be useful for your kingdom. Lord, make each brother sitting here who heard the message, Lord. Lord, help them
to hold fast
to the precious word of God. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.